everybody. Welcome to the Making a Difference workshop of WCNA 31. My name is Jerry, and I'm an addict. It says here I'm supposed to read any announcements, but I don't have any, so we're going to get right into it. Somebody escort that gentleman out. Can we please open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer? Thank you. Serenity. Grant us serenity to accept things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We have some readings, and I've asked Kristen S. to come up and read.
What is N.A.?
Hi, my name is Christine. I'm an addict. I'm from Switzerland. What is the Narcotic Anonymous Program? NA is a non-profit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership: the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Kim App has been asked to read Why Are We Here?
Hi, my name is Kim and I'm an addict.
Yep.
Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide, but addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
Thank you, Kim. At this time, no delay. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Adam H. from Connecticut.
Morning, everyone. My name is Adam. I'm an addict. Very nervous addict. And, first, I've heard so many speakers in the past, and you know, the first thing I really need to do is thank the convention committee and whoever the powers that be are that allowed me this privilege to come here and share my experience, strength, and hope. So thank you. And, you know, making a difference is such an interesting topic. I was asked about a month ago to share, or maybe a couple months ago, and you know, I got a phone call, and I was pretty sure that Mike from the office had gotten the wrong guy when he called my number. And it was actually pretty funny because we chatted on the phone for a little bit, and he definitely had me mistaken for somebody else, talking about last time that we had seen each other and we had done this, and I said, no, that wasn't me. So at that point, I was sure that they definitely had the wrong guy to come speak. But I talked to some people, and I talked to my sponsor and my wife and my friends, and they say, no, you're a good person to share on making a difference. But I spent a lot, you know, not a lot of time, but I spent some time thinking about it, and I can't help but keep thinking about how all of you and how NA has made a difference in my life. Forget about the difference that I've made in other people's lives. So I guess I'm going to start there. Does anybody know how long we're supposed to share for? Oh, my, half hour. Yeah, that's all I'm done. I guess, you know, without going into too much of the past, you know, I grew up in a pretty normal home, although my parents divorced early on, and you know, that made a difference in my life. You know, I had an incident happen when I was 6 years old that really changed the way I behaved for the rest of my life. It made me very fearful of what happened when I let my feelings show. And because of that, I really shut down and I hesitated to get very honest with how I felt. And it took a long time until I came here to NA, until I was able to begin to open up again. And, you know, so that's one of the differences that NA has made in my life. You guys have showed me that it's okay to share my real feelings and not be afraid of what the consequences are. My head is just... You know, I'm sure that my nerves are just, you know, my higher power shaking the truth out of me. That's what everybody says to me. You know, I got a bunch of loved ones here today, and they're going to keep me honest because I'd love to come up here and tell all sorts of stories, and because that's more comfortable to me than letting you guys really know who I am. But I'm sure they'll jump up and say something if I start lying. So I won't do that. I don't know, you know, when I got here to NA, you know, like everybody else, I didn't know how to live life. You know, my idea of living life was, you know, moving around from a bandominium to you know, wherever, to a point where I thought that, well, if I'm going to be homeless, let me go live on the beach. And you know, from job to job to job, just doing as little as necessary to get by. You know, I never had anyone stable stay in my life because I kept on using people and throwing them away. Or they would throw me away, whichever came first. You know, when I got here, you know, just like everybody else, I was desperate, I was hopeless. You know, living at a really animal level, you know, as our basic text says. You guys taught me how to live life, you know, really. I mean, every aspect of how to wake up every morning and how to go to work. You guys taught me that by, A, telling me that I have to keep coming here and going to meetings if I wanted my life to change. And that taught me how to do something on a consistent basis, how to get up and show up for life, you know. You know, you taught me about keeping a commitment, and you taught me about responsibility and how to do that day after day after day. You know, it's definitely made a big difference in my life. You know, life gets better when I begin to follow some basic rules in my life, you know, like getting up every day and going to work and paying all the bills and, you know, showing up for life in general. You know, it's that's where the difference comes in. You know, I've got a lot of loved ones in my life, and a lot of them are here, and some of them are here, and the people in my life, that's the hugest difference. You know, we hear it over and over again that, you know, the therapeutic value of one act helping another is without parallel, and that's it. I mean, you know, it's all of you that make the biggest difference in my life. I can't continue to live without all of you. You know, you guys teach me on a daily basis, you know, how to go through life, how to live life without using. Let me try to stop saying so much. You know, it's really funny. My father, when I told him about this, he asked me, well, are you going to prepare some kind of speech? And I said, no, that's not how it works. And he says, well, did they give you something to talk about? I said, well, no, that's not really how it, that's not how it works either. He says, do you just get out there and get up there and speak? And I said, yeah, basically, I just get up there, I let my higher power work, and I share my experience, strength, and hope with this topic. And he said, you going to have a tape of it or something so I can hear this? So this is probably going to be the first time my father gets to hear me speak at an NA meeting. My mother and my stepfather had come when I had maybe a year clean. I spoke somewhere, and they came, so they got to hear a lot of the stuff that they had suspected for many years but didn't really know. And fortunately, this is a topic-based thing, so I don't really have to get into this whole long story, qualifying and all that. But you know, it's the friends in my life that make the biggest difference. And my sponsor, my son. I have an 18-year-old son now, and which is amazing. And I got back into his life when I had about 10 years clean. When he was about 10 or 9, or I guess I had about 11 years, and I had chosen clean to stay out of his life for a little while, for various reasons, the most of which that I was an idiot. And so, you know, we got back into each other's lives, and the difference that being a parent makes in my life is enormous. This is very difficult, you know, to put into words, because it's such a feeling thing. You know, this whole making a difference. And, you know, being a father just blows me away sometimes. Even though he's 18 now, and it's, we're starting to see each other less and less, and now he's got a job and all this stuff, and yeah. And he's starting to grow up. And, you know, thank God he's not growing up the way I did. You know, and there's a difference. You know, that what I have been in his life has been a power of example and showed him that he doesn't have to go down the path that I went down. Wow, this is emotional. and you know, fortunately, he hasn't picked up yet. And I don't know if he's ever gonna. And I'm sure he's gonna be like most people, and somewhere, you know, it's probably coming up soon. Now he's 18, you know, maybe he'll go off to college and he'll be hanging out with some guys and try drinking a little bit or something. And I just pray that he doesn't love it as much as I did when I was a kid, you know. And that he doesn't need some kind of a substance to make him feel like a better person or something like I did. You know, but I get to see him often enough, and actually, I just got married this past Sunday, and thank you. My wife and I are here on our honeymoon, you talk about a difference. my son was my best man, and I couldn't think of anybody else that I would have asked, you know. Not only was he the perfect choice, but it also stopped any kind of controversy that might have happened with friends or sponsors or sponsees or any of that, because nobody could possibly say, why didn't he pick me? Because obviously I picked my son to be my best man. Just to have him standing up there with me when I said my vows was just such a life-changing experience for me. And I know I'm probably nowhere close to half. Can I just stop now? No. But I really haven't, and I think that there's a larger reason why somebody had put my name in to come here and speak, and I'll get to that. But before I do, I really want to. This past year has been an interesting one, and very emotional. You know, not only, like I said, I just got married this past Sunday, and we had the whole planning for that and everything, and talk about a stressful experience. For the first time in my life, I actually experienced it was my stress level had gotten so high that I had a vertigo attack, which was. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people said, you know, the room spins, and that's nothing new to me. Let me tell you what, this was nothing like anything that I ever experienced when I was using. Nothing. I mean, the room was doing a lot more than just spinning. And, you know, it was stress. And thank God the wedding's over, and we're here relaxing now. But that was a pretty stressful experience, the whole planning. And just back in November, my stepfather had passed away from cancer. I know he's here with me in spirit. And I know that he was there with us on Sunday in spirit. This man made such a difference in my life. Such a difference. I mean, everybody that touches our lives makes a difference. At least touches my life, makes a big difference in my life for various reasons. Obviously, a parent that raised me since I was 6 years old makes a huge difference in my life. And now he's gone. Physically gone. And I surely have not forgotten about him. And I'm sure I can't think of a single day since then that I haven't actually thought about him at least once. I remember sharing shortly after he passed away, and we had this service for him, a memorial service where, I got up in front of a crowd of people and I spoke and I shared my experience, strength, and hope pertaining to that relationship. And, you know, once again, it was one of those things where everybody else that had been asked to share about my stepfather that day had come with this speech prepared or something, and I had like this scribbled up piece of notes because I didn't really want to forget anything. But just like what you guys taught me, just show up and share from the heart. That's all. Just let my higher power share through me, share from the heart, and everything is going to be okay. And it was. It's really strange to not have him there on my birthday and not have him there on my anniversary and to not have him there at our wedding. God, I miss him. All right, I knew this was going to happen. I know it's definitely all right. But the reason my wife had to wipe my eyes on Sunday at the ceremony. Thank you. I could share forever on how all of you and how my family and how even, my coworkers have made a big difference in my life and how NA in general has made a huge difference in my life. Obviously, NA has made a huge difference in my life. I'm in Hawaii. I mean, that just says it all right there. I mean, there is no way that if I had been out there using it, would I have ever gotten to Hawaii. I mean, let alone because of the cost of it. I mean, just the whole fear involved with getting on a plane for so long, and just the, I couldn't stray that far from home when I was using. You know, I had to stay in that comfortable zone. So talk about a difference that's been made in my life. I'm here, and I'm clean, and I'm looking so forward to jumping in the Pacific Ocean. Looking very forward to that. But anyway, I believe that one of the reasons that I've been asked to come here and share today is because of my involvement in service. I've been involved in NA service since I had about 6 months clean. I've run almost the full gamut of all of the positions that can be held at a group level and an area level, and with the exception of like the subcommittee chairs and stuff, I haven't really done all those, but I've pretty much been involved in service since I had 6 months clean, and I don't think I've ever strayed away. There have been times where I've had only one commitment, and that was just fine. But I've never gone through any period of time since about 6 months where I've had no commitments at all. There was even a point in my recovery with about three and a half years clean that I didn't go to an actual meeting for about three and a half months. But I had a commitment with our convention committee, and I kept that commitment. And I showed up monthly and for that. And thank God I did that, because I don't know where I'd be if I didn't. My life definitely became totally unmanageable without meetings, without NA. And fortunately, I realized that before I had to pick up. And I got back to meetings. But, service has been huge in my life. Huge. I pretty much just said it. I don't think I'd be clean without service. you know, recently, well, back in 2004, I filled in for the Connecticut region as the RD. I don't need to go into the whys and all that, but, you know, I got to fill in for about 3 months as the RD and go to the World Service Conference, and I was the RD back in 99 and 98, the alternate, and so I got to talk about a difference in my life. Wait a minute here. I went to the World Service Conference in 1998 for the first time, and I, you know, I've been involved in the area level, in the group level, in the regional level, and every time that I get involved in service at a different level, I get to meet more people with like minds, you know, and some not so like minds, but, you know, people that love service work as much as I do, whatever our, you know, thoughts on different areas are. But we all feel the same way about Narcotics Anonymous, and we love it to death. And you know, we have a passion for NA and a passion for service. And I went to the World Service Conference in 1998 and started, you know, and this happened at every level. I served at the group level and got to really know everybody in the group. And then I went to the area level and got to know everybody in the area from all the different groups. And then I went to the regional level and got to know people from all over our little tiny region in Connecticut. And then I went to the World Service Conference and I started meeting people from all over the world. And, I had about 9 years clean, I think, at this time. And I always knew that NA was this worldwide fellowship. Knew it up in here, you know, because we talk about it. And we come to a world convention and we can see a little bit more that NA is a worldwide fellowship. But, man, at the World Service Conference, really, really meeting and listening and talking to people from all over the world was just such, I mean, the humility that came over me during that week and that I was able to bring home with me is just amazing. I mean, I no longer have any misconceptions about, how do I put this into words? You know, we have people back home that sometimes, you know, talk about, well, our region this and our region that, or our area this and our area that, and, you know, I have no misconceptions about the fact that we are all by ourselves. And that we are not a part of this worldwide fellowship, because we are. And I remember that always. It surprises me sometimes that is always in the forefront of my mind whenever I'm serving. And I hear people talk about, well, let's write some new literature. And it's like, why don't we translate some more literature first? Or, you know, that type of stuff. Let's not worry about us so much. Let's worry about us. And for those listening on tape, that's the big us, you know, because I realize whoever's listening is not going to be able to see that hand gesture. we are, you know, and I got to sit there and I got to listen to hear about how people in Europe are smuggling literature across, you know, the country boundaries and asking, you know, the Red Cross to help them smuggle stuff into these other countries because NA is not allowed in these countries. Or listening to people talking about how they're meeting in fields because they can't find an actual place to meet, you know, an actual building. So they meet in these fields and you know, and risk, you know, people like throwing stuff at them and stuff. Man, you know, I get so grateful for what I have back home, but I really, you know, get so humble at the same time and think, man, you know, we got it so easy. At least in the northeast of the United States, we got it pretty good. We got it pretty easy. I live what's considered in the country, and I don't have to travel more than 20 minutes to get to any meeting any night of the week. You know, I mean, talk about having it good. And I still can't get my ass to more than a couple of weeks, but that's the difference that service work has kind of made in my life. I try to share that whole worldwide experience, the fact that we are not alone. In the last 6 or 7 years, I've just been a part of this worldwide family in my heart. You know, not just, you know, thinking, yeah, we're a worldwide fellowship, blah, blah, blah. But I really feel that, like all the time. And it's because of my experience in service and going to the World Service Conference and meeting these people from all over the place and coming to world conventions and talking to people about their experiences and stuff instead of, you know, I don't know. But obviously, you know, because of all this service work, and everybody tells me, well, not everybody, but friends of mine, you know, will continue to tell me that I make a difference in everybody else's life. by doing this service. And it's really hard for me to sit up here and share about that because it's not about me at that point. It's really not. It's about, you know, the greater good. It's about NA as a whole. And I can't share about the difference that I make in my sponsor's life or in my sponsee's life or in my wife's life or in, you know, in my son's life. Or that's for you guys to share about the difference that I make in your life. I don't know how to talk about that. I can only talk about the difference that everybody else makes in my life. And the difference that NA makes in my life, and service work has made in my life, and my sponsors have made a difference in my life, and just so much. Oh, look, there's a clock right here. Everything would take a few more seconds. But I don't know. I think I'm really kind of exhausted on the subject, I think, and everything just makes a difference in my life. And I can only hope that by continuing to do what I do, by going to a couple of meetings here or there, and the service work I stay involved with, that I continue to make a difference in somebody else's life. I've always heard it said that the reason why I do service work is to make sure that there's a place for me to go when I really need it. And not because I'm looking, you know, to give back so much, but because I want to make sure that NA stays here. Because just for today, I may feel pretty good about my life, and I may not have some like crisis going on, and I may not feel like I want to use, but there are times when I feel that way, and I want to make sure that there's a place for me to go and share about it, and that there's a place for me to go and talk about it, and to see people that feel the same way, and to get out of myself and to help others and help newcomers, that's why I do service work, and to try to make sure that you guys stay here for me. So, I don't know, with that, I guess I'm pretty much done. And I really want to thank everyone for being here and thank you guys for helping me stay clean today. Thanks.
Thank you, Adam. And now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Gavin H. from Vancouver, Canada.
Oh yeah, there is a clock here.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm an addict. My name is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
How is everyone today? This is so cool to be here. I'm so happy to be here. I would like to thank the convention committee for asking me to share today. I got the same phone call that Adam did from Mike from the office, and unfortunately for me, I knew he knew who he was talking to. So he called me and asked me to share, and of course, before he told me what I was to share about, he asked me, and when I was new in recovery, I was certainly told not to say no, so of course I said, sure, I'd love to do that, and then I said, what's the topic, and he said, making a difference, and I said, what? now that I'm up here, and I had a chance to listen to Adam, that was wonderful, thank you. It's nice to see guys who can actually like get into their feelings, right? I like that. I like that a lot. I think he did a great job. Listening to him share and thinking over the last couple of days about this, it is such a big topic. There's so many angles that you can come from when you're looking at making a difference. And I, like Adam, realized that Narcotics Anonymous has completely changed my life, and that is a big difference. It's so funny, I was listening to something he said about, oh, you know, it's such a big difference, I'm here in Hawaii. Women are so different, because I'm sitting there thinking, well, I would have got here when I was using, I would have found a sugar daddy to bring me to Hawaii. It just made it so clear to me in that moment how different men and women are. I'm like, well, I could have been in the Hilton, like, sure, I could have been. So, yeah, that struck me as very funny, and I wasn't sure if I was going to share that, but, you know. I think for me, one of the biggest differences my life has today is the fact that I no longer wreak havoc on the world. So unlike Adam, I think about this topic from a very different point of view in some ways, because I knew before I got clean, all I did in my life was take. And one of the things that I was taught very early in Narcotics Anonymous was to give. And I complained and I whined and I said, why am I going and sitting on a beautiful Sunday afternoon in an area meeting in a basement of a hospital that stinks and it's 32 and I could be at the beach? That was where I had to learn my lessons in Narcotics Anonymous. there was probably, my mother said to me, I think it was probably about 3 weeks before I got clean, she came over to where I was living, believe it or not, I was actually one of those people at the end of my using that was still, you know, fairly readily functioning, and I was in a graduate program at university, don't remember being there very much, but I was there, and my mother came to where I lived, and I was living I grew up in Stratford, Ontario. I don't know if anybody here knows about that, but it's where the Shakespearean Festival is. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. So a lot of heritage homes, and I happened to be living in this beautiful brownstone, and at the back door I had one of those big, thick, heavy wooden doors with the stained glass in it, and then I had an old wooden screen door. So the glass door opened in and the screen door pushed out. So there was a knock on my door, and I went to the back door, and I opened up the glass part, and I went to push open the screen door, and my mother put her hand on the door. And she looked me in the face, and she said to me, "You terrify us. We can't do this anymore. We cannot do this. It is just not working for the family." And I remember thinking to myself, you know, for about a minute, what are you talking about? You know, like, I'm just doing my own thing. I'm just hanging out by myself, and I'm not affecting you, and I'm not affecting anybody else. And so what are you doing coming over here to the apartment, by the way, that they pay for, and saying something like that to me? And I remember thinking, a couple years into recovery, oh, my God, like, the personality of myself when I'm using is so far gone from who I am today. Sometimes it's so hard to go back. It's so hard to, you know, close my eyes and remember the look on my mother's face. Remembering the look isn't what's hard. It's being able to identify with what she was feeling and where she was at in that moment. Because today, I can't imagine myself going to that place. I can't imagine my mother saying something like that to me today. And that's a huge difference in my life. When I was using, I was an extremely, shall we say, violent individual, believe it or not. It was quite funny. I was quite a little scrapper. I liked hitting guys about his size. And I just hit because I was so angry all the time. And it was actually a terrifying experience even for me because I had no control over myself anymore. In the steps, it talks about, you know, using against our will. Well, I was violent against my will. It was like I had a switch. I snapped and it was finished. And, you know, people would just be like, oh my God, you know, that chick's loony. Don't go near her. So when I stopped using, I didn't know what that was going to be. I didn't know what that part of my personality was going to look like in recovery. So I remember talking to my first sponsor about it. And she said, well, I have a solution. Go do service. And I said, okay, sure. So what can I be the boss of now? And she said, no, 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 that's not how it works. And I said, well, what do you mean? I went to university, and I have a degree, and I was on the debate team, and I was this, and I was that. She said, you're going to be a secretary. And I said, what? She said, yes, you're going to go to the area meeting, and we're going to have someone put a nomination forward. I said, I'm taking notes. Like, I'm taking notes. I'm going to sit there and write down what everybody said. And she said, yes, you are. And that was how I started service. And then I got there, and I started seeing what was going on, and it was pretty interesting because it was a big difference in my life, sitting at the front of the table saying nothing. I still struggle with that today. Narcotics Anonymous, quite obviously, Adam said it, it made a big difference in my life. Service taught me to do something expecting nothing in return. And I didn't get that when I first got here. I saw people that were chairs of conventions like this, and I thought, oh my God, isn't that great? You'll get, you know, all the perks and this and that and other thing. You know, and then I worked my way into different service positions, and I realized some of them are about being up for 13 hours straight, running around. You know, nobody pays you, you forget to eat, you know, your hair starts to fall out. You know, service and fellowship is not about being somebody other than somebody helping another recovering addict. And I didn't get that, and I've learned that being here, and I fortunately for myself, I just saw a woman that's made a big difference in my life in the audience, who I do service with, and that's what how it's worked for me. I've had women and men in my life make such a big difference simply by taking the time to watch what they do and listen to what they say. Because for me, when I got here, I couldn't listen. I could hear, but I couldn't listen. And I really, really had to learn that. I remember at my five-year medallion, I was thinking as I was standing, we call them medallions in Ontario. Out in BC where I live now, they call them cakes. And I'm really confused about that because in Ontario, the cake doesn't matter. It's the medallion that matters. So I've had to, like, totally change all of this. And I say medallion still, and my husband Arnie says, it's cake. It's a cake. It's a hick. So I was standing up there when I had 5 years, and I remember someone saying and hearing somebody say that it really isn't until you have 5 years you start to understand Narcotics Anonymous and what it's all about. And I had such a big resentment about that before I had 5 years. And then I was standing up there at my medallion, and my dad's sitting there, and I'm looking at him going, oh, my God, I ruined your life. Like, I started to understand what was going on. I started to understand at that moment the effect my behavior had on other people. I didn't get that in my first few years of recovery because as long as I was doing service, I was working steps, and I had a sponsor, and I was doing all of the service stuff here, if I was an idiot to you, I could say, well, okay, that's fine, but I'm working steps. But I didn't get that. I didn't have the engagement of how I could affect you by what I did. And that day I understood it. That was probably the biggest difference I've experienced in Narcotics Anonymous was when I learned that lesson. It was a difficult lesson to learn because my amends list that year when I took my steps was huge. It was huge. And I remember sitting down with my sponsor thinking, all these people are in recovery that I have to make amends to. Like, what have I been doing here for 5 years? You know, whoa. And it was a big awakening. I love recovery because on a daily basis, I get these realizations. I have these situations where I will be in a conversation with someone and I will think about saying something that I would have said before and it doesn't feel right anymore. And sometimes I get angry about that and I think, well, oh, darn it, I can't say that anymore. It doesn't feel right. And for me, how I live my life today is very important because I know that there are people watching. I know that there are newcomer women in my area that watch what I do. And if I get up at Region and start screaming my head off at some person, see, I didn't say idiot, some person who may not be saying something I agree with, then there's a newcomer there that's watching that. And there was a time where I wouldn't have cared about that at all. Today I do. So the difference in the mere values that Narcotics Anonymous has instilled into my life is probably one of the greatest gifts I have. I'm very fortunate that I got clean in a city in Toronto, Ontario, that has a lot of people that have been serving for a very long time. I was taken under the wing of some great women that had a great deal of clean time, and I was willing to let Narcotics Anonymous make a difference in my life. That was the key for me, because I believe that if we're not willing, then it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter. One of the steps says you can pray over someone and try to force them to get clean and, you know, those sorts of things. And I believe that. I believe that if we're not willing, then the difference is never going to happen. And I think the only way to get willing is by sitting in rooms like this, by listening to what people say from all over the world. Like, this is amazing. Like, we can talk to people from all over the world here about recovery and about their fellowship and the struggles that they're having and what's going on. And, you know, for me in my life, that makes a huge difference. It's amazing to me that we are members of a worldwide fellowship that reaches people that really were essentially on death row. We were not supposed to live. We are not supposed to, you know, be functioning members of society. And for me, I know the only reason that I am is because we have 12 steps. You know, it's just incredible to me that those words on a piece of paper can do what they do for people like us. And I think that is an incredible, incredible gift. I don't know how they work. You know, that reading is called How It Works, but I still don't know why. Because if I read those individually, really, none of it makes any sense. You know, how does the transformation happen? How do we become someone in society that can function, that can make a difference in each other's lives? Simply by working 1 to 12, by doing service. You know, really, if you look at the recipe for recovery, it doesn't matter how many years you have clean, it always stays the same. No matter how we try to manipulate it, no matter how we try to come at it from a different way, or, you know, not go to meetings for 3 months, or, you know, I boycotted my home group once for 2 months because I really didn't like something that was going on. And, you know, when we got here yesterday, I was looking for Bob Act from the office because I'm fortunate enough to serve as the Fellowship Development Chair for the Canadian Assembly. And we are involved in something called the Canadian Science and Addiction Medicine Conference in Vancouver in October. So Bob and I have been talking a lot about how we're doing this and that. And I was looking for him yesterday. And I said to Annie, do you think I can go behind that line, like behind the registration desk? And he said, yes. And I said, really, I won't get in trouble. And he's like, this is Narcotics Anonymous, honey. Like, do whatever you need to do. Sometimes I forget that. I do. I forget that there are not rules here because I'm such a rule person, right? You can never do that. Those are some of my favorite things to say still today. So I really have to remember that, we are a fellowship of people here trying to help each other and trying to become productive members of society. There isn't a hierarchy. There aren't rules. There is no president. Like, I was really disappointed when I first got here that, there was no political structure you could be the big boss of and all of that sort of stuff. And sometimes when I think about, as a fellowship, what we accomplish simply by being of service, it's unbelievable. Like, did anybody look in the little book, like the recent translations of literature and what we're doing around the world? And, like, everybody's just doing it because they want to be assertive. And that is a miracle to me. I try to explain it to some people that are not in recovery, and they say, what do you mean? Like, people spend hours in rooms studying and translating and doing work, like work groups, and none of you get paid. No, none of you? No, none of us. And really, for the outside world, that is a major, major, they just can't wrap their head around it. They don't get it. And, if you look at our fellowship, it doesn't matter where somebody is from. Adam and I were just standing here talking before he got up to speak, and I said, I moved to Vancouver, and they asked me to be an RCM, and the last place I wanted to be back in was an area meeting. And Adam says, I love area, and I look at Adam thinking, you are a lunatic. The things that are so different about even us, depending on what our perspective is. My perspective of something can be so different than somebody's perspective of something else from across the country, and sitting down and talking to them can make me say to myself, I never thought about it that way. And because I'm such a closed-minded person, and I'm very opinionated and outspoken and stubborn and all of those lovely things, it takes me a while to let that sink in. The while has become, a lot less of a while, but, the while is still there. I think the difference where Narcotics Anonymous shows most in life today is in my family and my relationships. I can have relationships today. I did not have, I thought I could have relationships before I got here. And I understand today that a relationship is about two people sharing experience, strength, and hope, just like it is when we share in a meeting. And it's difficult. That is difficult for me because I would really like to be able to, have an easel in the morning when my husband gets up and say, okay, today you are going to do these things. And then everything will be okay. But that's not how it works. And understanding that is a big difference for me. Because, really, life used to be all about, if I was going to have you in my life, you did everything I said. Because I had no ability to hear or listen to somebody trying to talk to me about me. I've heard the statement that addiction is a voluntary condition. And I thought a lot about that. I thought a lot about powerlessness versus voluntary condition that addiction is. And it's an interesting topic to look at the difference in my attitude towards that, because there was a time where I would get very defensive about that. And understanding that my actions were my choice, that was one of the worst things anyone ever said to me. I could not wrap my head around the fact that even though I was using, the things that I did were still my choice. And that was very difficult for me to live with. So working steps 6 and 7 has been very important for me, to understand character defects and to look at them and realize that, over the years of being in recovery, character defects change and become character assets. And then some of my former assets become defects. And it just all keeps going and changing and growing. And, to sit back and to have people in my life talk to me about the differences they see in me is very difficult for me sometimes, because I sometimes don't see them. And sometimes I don't want to listen to you talk to me about them because it hurts me. And you know what? For me to say something hurts me is a big deal. because I don't go to that place easily. Vulnerability, I still have this thing in my life where vulnerability is difficult because I don't necessarily understand what that means. I see it as weakness. And I need to look at that attitude, and that's something that my sponsor and I are working on because it can make me a difficult person to get along with. Because I don't like to say I'm hurt. I don't like to say, you know, I'm scared. I don't like to say I'm fearful or show emotion. I show emotion in certain situations, and other than that, you know, I'm not comfortable doing it. And I'm getting better. The difference that Working Steps has made in my life will help me get there. And the sponsor I've got today, she's great. She loved calling me up and saying, "Oh, so you had a meeting the other night, and there was a newcomer there, and you said hello to her." And I said, "Yes, I did," because really, that's a very difficult thing for me. Talking to newcomers is very difficult. I was speaking at an Edmonton convention like a year and a half ago, and I said the same thing. So obviously, I'm still working on it. Because you know what? I don't know what I have to give. That's the thing for me. When we were coming here, I said to Arnie, I said, "I don't think I have anything to say, but what am I going to talk about?" Making a difference, making a difference, making a difference. Well, a lot of things have made a difference. It's cloudy this morning. That made a difference in my attitude when I got up. I'm in Hawaii. Why is it cloudy? You know, making a difference, it can come from so many places. You know, I've changed so much being a member of this fellowship, being a willing member of this fellowship, because there are times like pockets in my recovery where I didn't change very much. I was so stubborn and sternly set where I was. Okay, this is who I am, and this is who I'm going to be, and this is my point of view on that, and that's okay. You know, and every time I find myself thinking things like that, I have someone in Narcotics Anonymous come up to me, you know, in a totally inopportune moment when I'm just so clear on my vision, and they'll say, "Oh, well, you know, this happened to me," and da-da-da-da-da, and I'll think, "Why are you talking to me? I was so clear on where I was going about 5 minutes ago, and you just ruined everything," you know, and I love that. I love that, you know, people from all over the world are a member of the same fellowship, and we can share the same situations with each other and come out with a totally different perspective. And for me, that's probably one of the greatest gifts that Narcotics Anonymous offers me is perspective. Being able to see things through someone else's eyes. Being able to hear someone else's emotion and pain and watching people. I've seen some of the people in my life go through some of the most painful things I've ever imagined in Narcotics Anonymous and stay clean. Like things that, you know, just are beyond human beings' emotional capacity that, you know, such as we could see it as human beings, because, I mean, Narcotics Anonymous makes people so strong, like so strong. Like, my mother says to me, she says all the time, "I can't believe the people in your life." Like, they are just flabbergasted by the strength and conviction of character that people in Narcotics Anonymous have. Like, they have not missed one of my celebrations, and year after year after year after year, my parents sit and we go out for dinner afterwards, and they say, "Oh my God, I can't believe that guy. That guy was sleeping in snowbanks, and now he's like a VP in a bank." Yeah, he is. He is, Mom. Like, the places we come from and the places we get to are just so far reaching. And if someone would have come up to me before I got clean and said, "You know, you're going to go to Narcotics Anonymous and you're going to get clean," first of all, I would have said, no, I'm not. That's just not happening. Because it just wasn't something I ever believed would happen. I really was convinced that I would just take it to the bitter end and, you know, I'd be one of those famous people that people would talk about forever. Yeah, she went out big. You know, if someone would have come up to me and said, "Okay, you know, you're going to get clean, you're going to go to meetings, and you're going to introduce yourself as an addict, and you're going to sit around in circles day after day after day and share and listen to other people share, and then you're going to work some steps, you're going to get a sponsor," I would have said, "What are you talking about? There is just no way I would ever be a part of something like that." You know, the first meeting I ever walked into, I remember thinking to myself, "What am I doing here? Really?" I was sitting right in the front row because, I mean, I was a total tuner in school, and I was always in the front row, and I was always staying after school doing projects. Like, so in NA, I figured if I came right to the front, you know, I'd be, "Oh, that's one of the smart people here." Good idea. So I was sitting in the front row, and I remember people coming in, and they're smiling, and they're talking, and they're laughing, and I'm thinking, why are you people so happy? Like, you're here because you have to quit having fun. You know, why are you so happy? And they looked good. Look, they, I thought I looked good. I looked really good, 95 pounds, I'll tell you. I looked great. I looked like a bobblehead doll because my head was so big because my body was so little. But I thought I looked real good. I look at pictures of myself now, you know, in early recovery and think, oh my God, what was I thinking? But anyway, I remember sitting in that meeting just thinking, I don't understand this. Like, it was so backwards to everything else. But the difference in that room compared to what I was used to was just almost too much for me to handle. And then I'm listening to the readings. You know, why are we here? Well, I'm not sure why you people are here, but I'm not going to be here tomorrow. You know, and then I listened to them read the steps, and that was just the traditions I could get. Because it was more, you know, to stay together and work as a group, like that concept I could understand, you know, how a group of people need to get somewhere and accomplish something. So I figured by listening to the traditions there was some sort of business structure, so I was good with that. But with the steps I remember thinking, you know, it's powerless, no. No. That's just, you know, unmanageable? No, I'm not unmanageable. Not at all. And then I remember listening to people share. And I had the Just for Today book, and they read the meditation, and I was just like, okay, so you're trying to tell me I have to start my day with a happy reading every day? You know, really. And then I started listening to the people in the circle speak and share their stories. And the person I was when I walked out of that meeting was such a big difference from who I was when I walked in. And I didn't even know it. I didn't know it until years later. Because I was one of these people, when I got clean, I showed up and I stayed. You know, and I guess there were some people that weren't too happy about it, because they really wanted to get rid of me at some point in these meetings at my home group. But, you know, I'm gifted in that. I don't know if that was a decision my higher power made for me, or if that's just because I'm stubborn and I don't want to pick up another white key tag. I'm not sure even today what that is. I probably lean more towards not wanting to pick up another white key tag. But for me, when I look at my life today and the lives of those around me, I mean, I've been able to walk through the halls of this convention and see so many people I know and didn't even realize I really did. I get to see people that I serve on the Canadian Assembly with, and people that have taught me so much about how to live in Narcotics Anonymous, how to become a productive member of society, what that means and what that looks like. You know, the difference for me about how I treat people today is probably the most important difference in my life, because there was a time where you were so inconsequential to me. You were a person I ran into to get something from. And that almost breaks my heart to actually say that, because I look at people today that I have in my life and I value them. Like, I cherish people today. So much. I can't even sometimes put words to it. You know, I'm married to an amazing man that I met. It's quite a funny story. Adam came in and said, oh, I know who you are. I was the RV alternate in Ontario, and I went to the Canadian Assembly, and I met my husband. And I had to give up my RV position in Ontario to move to British Columbia, and it was very difficult for the RD in Ontario, because I kind of left her high and dry, and she's a woman in recovery I respect immensely, and it was one of the scariest conversations I've ever had to have. And when Arnie got home from the WSC last year, they told me that Amanda got up, the Ontario RD, and said, that guy stole my alternate. You know, so now all of these RDs from around the world, oh, you're Jackie H. from BC, I've heard about you. You know, so it's things like that are just such a wonderful difference in my life, because there was a time where I was so ashamed of what I was doing and the way I was living that for anybody in public to know or say anything about my life was just terrifying to me. Like, I'm one of those people that if I was at a party or a get together with people, I'd have to watch all the people I had lied to, you know, and make sure they weren't going to talk to each other. Like, that was just so exhausting for me, and I had to do it all the time. You know, and today, it's wonderful, the difference in my life, to be able to come to a convention and actually have a guy like Adam from Connecticut of all places to say, I know who you are. I say to myself, oh, excellent, that's good. Obviously, I'm doing service stuff. I think just, you know, how Narcotics Anonymous has made a difference in my life is just so big. Who has made a difference in my life? All of the people I've ever met that have done service with me, people that I smile at in a meeting, people that I walk by and say hello to while I'm here. I mean, every single person that I come across in this fellowship. And this fellowship has taught me to let people outside of this fellowship make a difference in my life. I've changed so much. I'm a great employee today. In fact, the relationship I have with one of the vice presidents in the company I work for is a relationship that, you know, I would have wished to have, you know, 10 years ago. Like, just, it's beyond me. Like, I was just awarded from the company that I work for a trip to the Bahamas. And when I was informed that that happened, I remember thinking, you know, the first thing I thought was, without Narcotics Anonymous, I wouldn't even be here. Never mind going to the Bahamas. And being congratulated by, I work for a major corporation, actually the head office is in New York City, and I work for the Toronto conglomerate, and it's just, that's amazing to me, that Narcotics Anonymous has helped me become that person. You know, where's the difference shown in my life? Everywhere. The fact that I'm standing up here and sharing, the fact that I can look out in the audience and see at least 20 people I know and I can say I care about very much. To me, that is just such a massive difference. My heart, I remember right before I got clean, I was at my mom and dad's home, and I was sitting on the floor of my old bedroom, like, just rocking, and, like, I was in so much pain, and I didn't know what to do. My mother walked in, and she said to me, you know, what are you going to do? And I just remember thinking, I don't know. I couldn't imagine anything else that could make that pain go away other than just getting so loaded I couldn't even function anymore. And I think when I got clean, that was the thing I was most scared of, was that pain. What was I going to do with that pain, and where was it going to go? And when I got clean, I asked people that, and I listened to them, and I watched. You know, I loved watching people that were in recovery before me. You know, there were people that came just before me that I saw them get a year, and then they got there 5 years before I did it. Watching the difference in them helped me understand that those changes were happening to me, because sometimes I'm the last person to see something. And being able to see things in people's lives. Friends of ours from Vancouver just had their baby 2 weeks ago after trying for 9.5 years and going through, you know, a situation that is very painful. And, you know, there's Narcotics Anonymous at work. You know, it's not just about, for me anymore, it's not just about staying clean. Staying clean for me is just what I do. That is just what I do today. The differences for me are about the miracles I get to see happen in other people's lives. And I never appreciated anything like that before in my life. If you came to me and told me that something good happened to you, I got envious and jealous, is what used to happen to me. And when I got that email about their baby, my face was just beaming. And that moment, that quintessential moment, is what I can say standing up here is the biggest difference. It's because I can appreciate members of the human race besides myself today. And for me, that is the biggest gift that Narcotics Anonymous has given me. So I hope everyone has a great time in Hawaii. And is it sunny out? Has anyone been outside lately? Thank you for letting me share.
Thank Adam and Jackie for sharing their experience, faith, and hope with us. I'm an addict named Jerry, and we still have some time left in the meeting. So I just want to share a little bit that, you know, thank both of them again. And I've known Adam for a number of years. We've been in service together in the Connecticut region for quite a number of years. We both had hair back then. But it's, you know, I've seen his work. And I know what a difference he's made in our region, and I can testify to that, though he's too humble to say it himself. Okay, but he has been a power of example to myself and to others in our region, and I'm sure Jackie has been the same in her region. And it is through our efforts as individual addicts willing to be of service in any way, and I'm not talking about sitting on a committee or anything, just be of service to some other human being, an addict usually, but like they shared, you know, in general, in the society at large, if we can just be of service to someone, that's, you know, that's a difference. And I know you're looking at a very scared, shy, isolationist type person before I got to Narcotics Anonymous. And for me to stand up in front of anyone
and talk and share is totally foreign to me. And the only way I do this is because I came to Narcotics Anonymous and you people loved me. And I took service commitments, and you people told me that I was doing good, that you appreciated what I was doing. And I came from a place of no self-esteem whatsoever to, after a number of years, I developed low self-esteem. And then eventually, I came to understand and believe from what you people told me that I was a decent, worthwhile human being and not a piece of shit. And that's a difference. And I heard another addict share, and he's passed away a number of years ago, the ultimate goal is to affect people as profoundly with my recovery as I did with my disease. And that would be the ultimate in making a difference in my life. I strive for that. So with that, the floor is open. Anyone else would like to come up and share at the mic? Thank you. My name is Charles. I'm a grateful recovering addict. And I'm truly a grateful recovering addict. And I'm glad we're having the opportunity to share, because when we're talking about making a difference, I was thinking about how I've been making a difference in Narcotics Anonymous from like day one. And I started off with making coffee. Back in 88, I think I made coffee for about four different home groups. And my goal was to get a year so that I could do service. I got my year, and I went to H&I, where I got the message, and became a panel coordinator, doing service in my area, the group level, the area level. And I'm going to keep this short because maybe somebody else wants to speak too. And my whole Narcotics Anonymous life has been doing service on one level or the other. 2003, after going to the area, to the region, I came to the greater New York, which is where I'm from, the regional service office. I came on as the chairperson of the board, and I want to say this. The service that I do it just not even thinking about whether or not I'm making a difference or if somebody is going to get something out of it. I do it because of the love that I have for Narcotics Anonymous. And excuse me. And so I went to GNYRSO and became the chairperson. And when I came on board as a board of director, the office was $90,000 in the hole. So under my, you know what, and my disease doesn't want me to say this, but under my leadership, we came out of the hole last year. Because of the efforts that the two or three of us on the board made. And just to show you with the gratitude that I have, I started this trip to Hawaii on August 20th. And we flew into L.A., my sponsor and I, who also does service. He's the RD now for our region. He was a world PI at some point back in the day, and I get a lot of my service junkiness from him, you know, because I've got my road dog, too. He go wherever we go together. So we flew into L.A. on August 20th, spent the night, drove out to Vegas. He likes to gamble sometimes, but stayed at Caesar's Palace, came back Monday. And we called Ernie, Anthony, from our executive world board member, and told him we were on our way from Vegas and that we were headed towards the office. Because I wanted to see the office. I wanted to thank the people at the office for hanging out with us, for helping us to, you know, make that transition from that $90,000 to being current today. So while I was in the area, I was going to try and make that office to see exactly how they're, you know, how everything works. So, make a long story short, we got there, and it was late, it was like 5:30, the office closed at 5, and Anthony saw us outside, and he had the people open the door, and they opened the door for us, gave us the tour, and Anthony came down and said, you know, we were just talking about you guys, and we're talking about how we can use you guys as an example as to how a service office can be in trouble and can get turned around under the right leadership. And that blew me away. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Natick. My name's Woodsy. I really want to thank both speakers. I got a lot out of both of you. And Adam, I love you a lot. And I think it's really cool that you cried at your wedding and that you cried up here. And I do respect you for being able to feel your feelings and not run away from them. I find that very attractive in men. And congratulations to you and Donna. And Jackie, thank you for sharing and for your honesty. I related to a lot of the things that you said, and particularly when you talked about the 6 and 7 step, because for me, that's where it all happened. When I didn't have to be in control anymore, and I wasn't running the show, which I thought was what I always wanted, it's such a great relief not to be in control now, and to sit back and to be a part of the process. And, you know, as far as service work goes, there's no substitute for service, and I was a service junkie until I became a single mom a few years ago. But the beauty of service is, like people said, I could go just about anywhere in the state of Connecticut and I would know people because I had been at region, at area, at this event, at that event. And I used to, in my early recovery, take commitments that were high profile. I had to be the chair of this, the chair of that, and do this and do that. And I don't really feel like that anymore. My commitments, I find that I feel better if my commitments are the ones that most people don't know I have. And one of the best commitments to have is coffee maker. And this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to tell you the truth, that when people are nominated for positions, you know, I ask them, have you made coffee? And I have to clarify because we're addicts. I have to say, have you made coffee at a meeting? Okay? Because there are some people who refuse to make coffee at a meeting, and I won't vote for you as a chairperson if you haven't made coffee. Not because of anything in your personality or whatever, but I really think you need to have the humility to make some coffee at a meeting and be behind the scenes, make it happen, and then I'll vote you as a chair, you know. That's my own crazy little thing, but that's one of the best commitments you can have. You have to show up. Nobody really knows that you made the coffee unless you want to broadcast it, which you got to be careful if you don't know how to make coffee. So I encourage, and I had this one sponsee who, I don't even know how many years she got clean before she went back out, but she refused to take coffee. And she used to scream and yell because when she would be up for chair commitments, I would not, you know, I would abstain from the vote because I didn't want to vote her as a chairperson. And in my mind, what I think in that is that maybe if she'd taken a coffee commitment, she would have had that nice feeling. You know, she would have gotten the rewards. And for me today, I have a couple of commitments. Like I said, I'm a single mother. This is my first time away from my gorgeous 3-year-old baby, and it's killing me. But I need to be here. I need to take care of myself. And there's nothing like the magic of the meetings. Because I got here, oh, God, what day is it today?
Wednesday.
So I got here like a few days ago. I don't even know. Oh, it's Thursday today? And I came all the way from Connecticut, so it's like a different day there.
We're there.
You know, right there. Anyway, I haven't felt right. But when I walked into the meeting last night and they started reading the readings, my insides like calmed down. And then the same thing this morning when I came in and I saw Adam, then I saw Donna, then I saw Steve and I Am, and then I started seeing Kenny and all the people that I know from Connecticut and then people from other states. All of a sudden I felt okay. I felt like right again. And that's how my life's been affected by NA is I'm okay today. I'm happy today. I have a life that I'm not ashamed of today. You know, you said it really well. People know you because you stole him, I think, or he stole you, or however you put it. Well, you're not ashamed of that. You're living your life right today. And sometimes I feel sad I can't do the service that I used to do, but I do the service that I can. And one of the things that, as I go on in my recovery, is I want the commitments that are less high profile. I remember when I was about to celebrate my first year, I said, you know what, I'm going to stand on the chair and cheer. And then I didn't do it. And then on my second year, I said, I'm going to stand on the chair and cheer, for God's sake. Especially me, because I had some time and went out, and people said, you'll never stay clean. And just because they said that, I stayed clean in the beginning. Don't you tell me I'll never stay clean. And you know what, now I've never stood on the chair, and I'm not going to stand on the chair. I'm just grateful that I'm here a day at a time, and that I can celebrate it with all you guys. and the commitments that I have are really important to me. You know, think about the schedule. Who does your schedule? You don't know who does that, but you know you want it to be right, and you know how important it is to have a correct schedule for the newcomer. You know, I had the experience of going to a couple of meetings that didn't exist anymore. And so that's something I take pretty seriously. It's the first piece of literature a newcomer sees. But when that schedule is printed, it does not say made by Woodsy on it. Nobody has any idea. Well, you do now. But that's a commitment that I did many years ago, and now I'm doing it again, and I get great satisfaction out of it when I pick up the schedules and they're printed and they're as right as they can be. I can't get it 100%, you know. But I just wanted to say thank you to the speakers. I got a lot of what you said, and I really need meetings. You know, I just was not feeling myself, and, you know, of course, traveling umpteen million hours on a plane where my legs didn't fit on the seat in front of me and being sleep-deprived and all that stuff and not going to a meeting, it's not good for me. So when I sat in here, I realized I was here, and this is the first time I'm glad that my daughter's not here because I wouldn't have been able to listen to the whole meeting. So I know I did the right thing, which a little separation anxiety is not going to kill me. I don't think. I called her on the phone, and she was crying, so it made me cry. Mommy! So I think this is part of my growth process, and I'll get through it. When I get home, I'll be so glad to see her. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Woody. Yes, gentlemen in the back.
My name is Stephen, and I am an addict. Thank everyone who shared and spoke. And first, Adam, I'm a little upset you didn't mention my name once. But get over that. I tell you one thing that I'm most grateful for Adam for is my first sponsee wouldn't have come into this program if it wasn't for Adam. And it's funny because Adam probably never would have gone to a rehab if it hadn't been for this first sponsee, because from age 14, he was just like going to rehabs to clean up. And then Adam, when he decided to do something, said, oh, I'll go to rehab. Richie used to do that. But this person was so important in my life, my first sponsee, because of the fact my wife and I aren't able to have children. And although he doesn't have long hair anymore, I always used to say he's the long-haired tattooed son I never had. But I really learned how to love, and that's made a big difference in my life. You know, he's still in my life, and I'm grateful to Adam for that. I've also learned a lot. I've served with Adam. And one of the ironic things is when Adam was chair of our area, I was the secretary. And I was trained. I used to be a court reporter, a guy who takes everything down with the machine. And I would come in, sit next to Adam with my machine, and we had the best minutes, I'll tell you, ever. I mean, we had like 5 pages of minutes for our area meeting because I had to get every word as I was trained. And when I became a chair of our area, Adam was my secretary, and it was so nice because I didn't really know what I was supposed to know to chair an area meeting, and I would turn to Adam and, what do I do here? And I remember commenting to him once, I was so neat how he knew so much. He knew everything, and he reminded me of something my mother used to tell me. The secret was to pretend like you know everything, and then everyone will listen to you. So I learned from Adam how to learn Robert's Rules of Orders. There's a reason why they're there, because dealing with lawyers for a long time, I learned that the only thing worse than a room full of lawyers is a room full of addicts pretending to be lawyers. And I learned how to control myself, because I was thinking about this while Adam was sharing. I never saw him like lose his temper at an area meeting. And he was always very calm about it. And I thought that was, you know, something I've tried to strive for. And I've worked with Adam through region and conventions, and I've learned a lot from Adam, and he's made a difference in my life. He's a good man. One difference I want to share about today happens to be my 16-year anniversary. And what I really learned about my self-centeredness was 11 years ago at the Baltimore Convention, which also fell on my anniversary, and I remember thinking, why are total strangers coming up to me and saying, oh, happy anniversary? And I remember thinking this and thinking, don't say this to anybody, because it's kind of a sick thought, and really understanding the depth of my self-centeredness, to think that total strangers would know, because I'm who I am. I really am self-centered. But what has helped me and what has made the biggest difference in my life is not being a service junkie, it's not going to meetings, it's not having commitments, it's not having a sponsor. It's been the steps. That's been the biggest difference in my life. But I wouldn't have understood that unless I'd done all those other things. Because it's a combination. I'm sure all of us have seen service junkies who didn't go to meetings and eventually used. And it's not just one thing that we have to do in this fellowship. It's everything. It's a full, it's kind of like a contact sport. It's everything. It's not a spectator sport. A sponsor told me that once. So I'm grateful that I'm able to be here. And it's funny, when Adam was talking about how, you know, if I was active, I wouldn't be in Hawaii. I remember one of the thoughts that occurred to me when 9/11 happened and they started crunching down with security at airports. I remember thinking, if I'd been active, I wouldn't have gone anywhere unless I could get there by car, because I was about to get on a plane without drugs. Are you crazy? So I remember thinking, man, that's sad. And something else that Jerry talked about, getting through service, getting self-esteem. You know, I got that through service. And I can always think back on this, how pathetic I was. When I used, the only thing that gave me self-esteem was the fact that when I sold you an ounce, it actually weighed an ounce. And I remember feeling so good about that, and that's that, you know? That was my total self-worth, but it actually weighed an ounce. Thank you very much.
Is there any burning desire to share? In that case, we'll have Arnie H. read We Do Recover.
Hey. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to read this session as being recorded by Sound Images.
And...
my name is Arnie, I'm an addict. We do recover. When at the end of the world we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, and death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and if we could all form a circle, we'll close. Thank you.